So between 16th and 18th March 2026, Singtel experienced difficulties with its mobile service network. Based on preliminary reports, an incident on 16th March affected more than 600,000 Singtel mobile customers. While services were progressively recovered, the disruption lasted for about 9 hours. The cause of the incident was attributed to a mechanical fault at one of Singtel's network facilities. A separate incident reported on 17 March affected about 2,000 Singtel mobile customers and was attributed to a software bug from a planned IT system upgrade. On 18 March, some Singtel mobile customers experienced intermittent connectivity issues during peak network traffic in the late afternoon. Singtel indicated that these issues were resolved within an hour. The Infocom Media Development Authority is investigating the incidents. Thus far, there is no evidence that the incidents were due to cyber attacks. IMDA is also investigating whether calls to emergency services were affected by the incidents, even though there are no such reports thus far. I would like to assure members that MDDI and IMDA take all service disruptions seriously, and we recognise the concerns raised. Service providers are held to high service standards through the Telecoms Act and the Telecom Service Resiliency Code. For example, service providers are required to ensure that service incidents are resolved within 1 hour, failing which IMDA may take enforcement actions and impose financial penalties. Among other measures, service providers are required to conduct regular audits on key telecom infrastructure for resilience. They are also required to uphold stringent quality of service standards, such as ensuring more than 99% nationwide outdoor mobile service coverage at all times. While disruptions cannot always be prevented, IMDA requires key service providers like Singtel to put in place robust measures to contain their impact and ensure speedy recovery. This includes providing redundancies and failover systems for core network functions. IMDA also regularly reviews its regulatory frameworks to ensure that they remain relevant. This includes updating regulations to protect our submarine cables in 2022 and to enhance the cybersecurity of key telecom operators in 2023. IMDA is reviewing telecom service resilience regulations to ensure they remain effective. It has been about 3 weeks since the incidents. We note that Singtel has provided one-time rebates for affected mobile subscribers as part of their service recovery. In the meantime, IMDA's investigations are ongoing. It will publish its findings after investigations are completed and will not hesitate to take strong regulatory action should any lapses be identified. We also thank members for their suggestions. These will be assessed for the ongoing review of telecom service resilience regulations, together with other suggestions that IMDA or the industry have put forward.
Minister Teo, I assume that your response covers PQs 71 to 74 in today's order paper.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Ang Wei Nong.
Thank you, speakers. Thank you to Minister for the comprehensive reply. Can I just ask for the clarifications? The three incidents of Singtel disruptions, it was reported by the press that it was totally unrelated. What was the preliminary investigation based on the finding of MDA? And secondly, did IMDA or MDDI require the Singtel to do the compensation as what they had done as service recovery, or is purely your own effort? And thirdly, will the service recovery be part of the requirement by IMDA or MDDI for other telcos with similar incidents? Thank you.
Minister Teo.
Mr. Speaker, I thank the member for his questions. Because investigations are still ongoing, I will not want to prejudge the outcome. We don't rule out entirely that the incidents are related in some way, but the extent of the relations is yet to be firmly established, so it's better to let the investigators complete their work. But it is clear, however, that for now, there is no evidence to suggest that any of the incidents that have been reported were cyber-related. So that part, I think, is clear. As to the question that the member raised about the compensation, this was done on Singtel's own volition. Around the world, if you look at various jurisdictions, we do not know of anyone that require telcos to make compensation for service disruptions. Part of the reason is because in most markets, telecom services are quite competitive, meaning that from the provider's standpoint, there is an interest on their part to maintain goodwill with their customers. And so in this instance, Singtel has decided that the service disruption lasted long enough. It impacted a wide swath of people. There were many of their customers were inconvenienced, and they decided that they would offer a one-time rebate as part of their own service recovery.
Mr. Melvin Yong.
So I thank the Minister for her answers. I have two questions. First, whether IMDA currently mandates stress testing or simulation of failover systems under peak or adverse conditions, and if not, whether such requirements will be introduced following IMDA's review. Second, even if such continuous incidents are infrequent, the impact of such disruptions on both consumers and businesses is significant, and I feel there should be greater safeguards. So will IMDA consider introducing more stringent resilience benchmarks on the telecommunications companies?
Minister Teo.
Mr. Speaker, the short answer to the member's question is yes. The stress testing obviously has to take place. But as we complete the investigations, we may find that there are parts of a system where the stress testing is not as good as it needs to be. So this will then inform our understanding of the extent to which we need to then strengthen the regulations and put in place the right set of obligations and expectations. So I can assure the member that we will take this very seriously. Just to say that telecom networks have become much more complex. We continuously introduce new service enhancements, so from 3G to 4G to 5G. And of course, in today's context, the system is also needing to respond to greater user needs, for example, in AI-enabled tools. So we fully appreciate what the member has said. Members of the public, whether businesses or individuals, are depending on these services. So in terms of their reliability, the expectation is certainly rightly high. I would like to perhaps provide some context to assure the member that we track these performance issues very carefully. If we look at telecom incidents and look at the period 2016 to 2020 compared to 2021 to 2025, so to look at two big blocks, because annual numbers may not be fully reflective, you look at five-year blocks. Average number of incidents in the earlier block of 2016 to 2018 was eight. So it was average of eight incidents in the period 2016 to 2020. In the more recent five-year period, 2021 to 2025, that has come down to six, average number of incidents per year. The average duration of the incidents have also come down from 8 hours to 6.5 hours. Is there room for improvement? The answer is yes. And part of the purpose of investigations is to arrive at a better understanding of how the system components are interacting with one another and where we need to strengthen the measures.
Dr. Neil Kokbig.
Mr. Speaker, sir, I thank the Minister for the reply on the telcos, especially on the stress test and the redundancies. I would like to ask whether the telcos network exists independently by themselves or interconnected with other telcos operators. If the IMDA, in view of resiliencies of our telephone network, would it consider regulations for them to work together such that if there is any outage, there will be automatic switchover from one telco to another telco so that disruptions to the subscribers are not disrupted? And a simple example would be like we move to another country or we visit another country and then we auto roam. So I'm a telco engineer, so I know a little bit. Thank you.
Minister Teo.
Mr. Speaker, I thank the member for his suggestion, and we will continue to study it. But preliminarily, I would just say that even if there was mobile switching available, it wouldn't be able to respond to all kinds of service disruptions. It depends on which part of the network has gone down. And maybe some parts of the network can be switchable between telcos. Some parts of the network will not be able to do so. So that is just to put it out there. There may be other kinds of mobile switching, you know, options available, but they will inevitably involve some costs, and it's not clear that subscribers are willing to pay for these additional features. So that's something that we also have to keep in mind. I should just add that in our context, in the Singapore context, wireless services are readily available. So looking at the issue from the point of view of a user, if you are able to get to a wireless network, there are also messaging services that you can rely on. And that, I think, is the option that many people currently rely on and remains something that is quite viable.
Mr. Alexio.
Sir, I thank the Minister for her answers. I just wanted to ask the Minister, I think for outages, as we have spoken in this House, I think consumers and businesses are most affected. And one of the things that I think if you hear from the ground is that there is no real-time live information on how long the outage is going to be, what is the reasons for it, and so on. And I understand, like in Australia, they have a live outage register. Would the IMDA consider mandating telcos to provide real-time live information whenever any of these outages occur, rather than for consumers and businesses to wait for them to issue a press statement before finding out more information about these issues? Thank you.
Minister Teo.
Mr. Speaker, I think service providers can certainly improve the timeliness of their updates to their subscribers as well as to members of the public. Today, quite a lot of the information on outages is crowdsourced. There is something called down detector that people very frequently refer to. By and large, it's quite reliable and gives a very good sense of what's going on. But I take the member's point. In terms of our investigations, in terms of how we assess the incident response or the incident's responses by the service providers, we will also look at how well they have done in terms of communicating with their subscribers and members of the public.
Last SQ, Mr. Jerogiam.
Sir, thank you. I thank the Minister for the replies. So the fines paid by telcos for service disruptions go into the consolidated fund, so they do not directly benefit affected consumers and businesses. And the $5 to $10 goodwill rebates given out by Singtel and GoMo are not legally mandated, and these amounts may be small compared to the losses suffered by customers. I understand that in some European countries, consumers actually do have a legal right to compensation in the event of service failures. Now, if the Ministry will not mandate compensation, what accessible recourse is available to consumers and small businesses to recover financial losses due to these network failures, given that legal action may be prohibitive? And how will the Ministry ensure that financial penalties for service lapses are high enough to act as a genuine deterrent rather than a cheaper alternative to investing in network reliability, especially at the higher end of the reliability range? And next, Given the recent history of state-sponsored cyber attacks on our telcos, did IMDA and CSA conduct their own independent and thorough cybersecurity investigations beyond Singtel's internal investigations to arrive at their own conclusions? And if so, did they uncover anything new?
Minister Teo.
Mr. Speaker, the telco service providers have different commercial arrangements. In some instances, with bigger customers, they may indeed have built into their contracts conditions upon which compensation would be due. We are not privy to all the details of these arrangements, but I can say to the member that they do exist. So some of the customers may already be seeking damages from the telco service providers when an incident of this nature happens. So just put that aside. He may be referring to individual consumers. And when he talks about some European jurisdictions, we are only aware of the UK and Germany having in place arrangements that he may be referring to. In these two countries, the regulators require compensation, but the scope is quite limited, such as for loss of service for broadband or landline only, which in the incidents that took place in March for Singtel would also not have qualified. But nonetheless, it is overall not a common requirement. We were prepared to look at the suggestion. I would just add 2 points. One is that on their own volition, because of competitive reasons and the need to maintain customer goodwill, in this instance, Singtel has decided to pay a one-time rebate to their customers. I think a competitive market does have this effect on the service providers. They know not to assume that their customers cannot change providers. So that's one feature of the way the market works that gives the consumers some assurance that the service providers need to be up to mark in terms of the service resilience and reliability. The other thing is that in response to the earlier question to Mr. Melvin Yong, I had cited how the regulations have perhaps helped also to reduce the number of incidents as well as the average duration per incident. And we will continue to look at how regulations can be strengthened in support of such improvements. Finally, to the question posed by the member regarding state-sponsored advanced persistent threat actors, whether IMDA does its own investigations. The short answer is that IMDA, together with CSA, will have to look very seriously into these issues. And we have, on previous occasions, updated the public about findings that could be made known. Of course, the work continues.